This is Cincinnati Edition. On 91.7 WVXU, I'm Michael Mungs. 8 states are part of the Ohio River Water Sanitation Commission, commonly referred to as OSANCO. Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana are all included in that. The 70-year-old organization works with those states to improve water quality in the Ohio River Basin so that the water can be used for drinking, industry, and recreation, while also supporting the aquatic life within it. But there's a proposal to scale back some of OSANCO's regulatory authority. Before any changes are made, the public can weigh in. So let's get an overview of what's going on. Joining Cincinnati Edition today are OSANCO Executive Director and Chief Engineer Richard Harrison. Welcome, Richard.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
And Sierra Club Ohio Chapter Conservation Program Coordinator Nathan Alley. The Sierra Club is an environmental organization. Welcome, Nathan.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here. Big fan of the show.
I appreciate that very much. If you have questions or comments or concerns that you'd like to express during this conversation about water quality in the Ohio River, give us a call, 513-419-7100. You can also email talk@wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll be looking for your comments or your tweets and try to get some of those into the show. Richard, I want to start with you. So just tell us exactly what OSANCO does for the Ohio River.
OSANCO is one of the few interstate organizations in the country that works towards water quality. So we're a collaborative body of our member states, as you mentioned, our 8 member states, and they've really pledged working together to maintain and improve the water quality of the Ohio River. And that's been a great success story over the past 70 years. We have a number of programs. As you mentioned, our programs revolve around maintaining aquatic life, maintaining the river as a source for drinking water supply, recreation, human health, fish consumption. So we do a lot of work around that. Our team is made up of about 19 full-time employees, and we do a lot of great scientific work on the river. And so we really check the health of the river and make sure that we have a good handle on how the water quality of the river actually is doing at any given time.
And you're headquartered here in Cincinnati?
We are. We're on Kellogg Avenue in Cincinnati.
Okay. And then I guess the organization has a presence elsewhere, or do you do all of the work for all of the cities along the Ohio River that are part of this from the Cincinnati office?
Our team does a lot of traveling.
Yeah.
So we are located here in Cincinnati. And then we have a number of crews. We will haul our boats to wherever we're doing the work. We focus a lot of our work on the Ohio River, although we do have the authority within the entire 8-state area of the Ohio River Basin. So we really do have broad authority.
Yeah. So how is that authority established and then enforced?
Well, it's always important to remember, Michael, that we are a collaboration of our member states. So the Interstate Compact is actually the vehicle for which that takes place. And so it's the member states agreeing to work together. And so with the makeup of our commission being 3 commissioners from each of the states appointed by the governor, and one of those commissioners being the chief environmental official for each state's EPA or Department of Environmental Quality, we are really linked with our states. And then we also have 3 commissioners appointed by the federal government. So we work together really through the guidance and leadership of our policy board, which is our member states. And I think that's an important background through that. And so we really make sure that the work we do is in tandem with them. And really, when we started in 1948, that was well before the Clean Water Act. And so things have changed quite a bit. And the way we have maintained our relevancy is one, through our team's great scientific work. We have decades of data for the river, but also we are not redundant to our states. And so through the Clean Water Act, they focus a lot of their efforts on the other bodies of water within the basin. And we have largely focused our efforts on the Ohio River, although we do a work in other bodies of water in the basin.
So there's a proposal, and I want you to explain to us what regulations there are, what those regulations do, and how they would be impacted by the proposed changes.
Well, you mentioned enforcement and OSANCO's role in that. We do have significant enforcement authority within our compact. However, the states have really from the beginning of time been really the vehicle for enforcing any work or standards that OSANCO has put forth. And so the states working with the US EPA are actually the entity that enforces our criteria that we develop, our standards, and they do that through the MPDES permitting process. And so they are actually the ones that do the enforcement, and then they consider our standards as part of their process for review of permits.
Okay, so there was a public hearing in Pittsburgh this week about this.
Yes.
And the proposed changes. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reported this week after that public hearing in that city that many people believe these proposed changes are driven by the shale gas industry and plastics manufacturers that want reduced regulations on wastewater discharge into the river, and that the proposed changes would make compliance with existing regulations restricting pollutants to be voluntary. So, Richard, what role does industry play when Orsenco votes on standards, and how do you balance those commercial concerns with what others may view as better for the public's well-being?
Well, industry is certainly a partner of Orsenco. They were actually mentioned in the designated uses of the compact that we needed to make sure that the bodies of water within the basin are suitable for drinking and industrial water supply. So they are partners. They are stakeholders, as are our watershed committees and drinking water utilities, wastewater utilities, and a number of other entities, our states, federal government. So they are certainly partners, but they really have not had any more of a role in this than any of our other partners. They provide a comment, but this has really come from our member states and really taking a step back to holistically look at our role in water quality standards, and is that the best use of our resources? We do amazing scientific work. We do have great biological programs. We have great monitoring. We're getting ready to do a perfluorinated compound study on the whole river. It's a 1,000-mile river. So really, we're trying to make sure that the 19 folks that we have on staff are being used in the best possible way, and is this possibly redundant?
513-419-7100 if you'd like to weigh in on the proposed changes to regulations along the Ohio River. Nathan, you're with the Sierra Club of Ohio. Your organization champions the environment. So what are your feelings about this?
Well, thanks again for having me on, and thanks to Richard for all that you do and all that Orsenco does. Our perspective is that Orsenco is a very important and necessary organization that has been doing great work, as we've noted, for more than 70 years now. And the old adage is, if it's not broken, don't fix it. And at this point in time, there's really no good reason to back off the great work that Orsenco has done. And now, we mentioned who is driving this proposed change. It may or may not be industry, but what can be determined is that really those industrial users are the only folks that would actually benefit from the proposed changes. People along the river who use it for drinking water, for recreation, who appreciate the aquatic life, they would not benefit from these changes. And entities like our own waterworks here in Cincinnati have come out and said that they believe the pollution control standards should be maintained in their existing capacity.
So how do you know that there will be negative impacts for those of us who drink that water or recreate in it, or for the little guys swimming underneath it?
Well, again, Orsenco does very important work in identifying and setting standards for pollution control on the river. And unfortunately, if Orsenco is not going to do it, no one else is necessarily going to step in to fill that breach. There was a report issued by a minority of the commissioners, I believe last year or the year before, that identified more than 180 standards that Orsenco is responsible for promulgating that otherwise would not have been used in at least one of the 8 member states. We believe that Orsenco has a long history of doing important work, and it should be allowed to continue to do its work.
Based on some of the proposals that are being considered and discussed at public meetings up and down the river, Nathan, what do you think is the most significant downside to it?
Well, by making the standards voluntary and allowing the states to essentially go their own ways, it sort of flies in the face of what the compact was formed for in the first place, which is to provide a comprehensive look at the watershed, allow all the states to participate, and essentially allow them to set standards that benefit the entirety of the user base. What we're afraid of is that in the proposed scenario, states along the shale region that you mentioned earlier might see fit to relax the standards and allow the industry to issue more pollutants into the river.
Richard, I mentioned that public hearing in Pittsburgh this week, and in that same report from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, it identified that many people spoke out against that, and that seemed to be the overwhelming response at the public hearings, that people are opposed to these proposed changes. Has that been typical of all of the public hearings?
Well, that was the first public hearing, and
there was one in Covington just in February. Was there? Are these unrelated?
That was our actual commission meeting. So it's worth maybe stepping back, Michael, and talking a little bit how we got to this point. Last year, January or so, we initiated the public review that really started this process. That came after about 2 years of work by the commission to develop this proposal. In that initial review, the commission landed on an alternative that would have essentially eliminated push girl standards. And then as that was put further out for a more detailed review in June, there were about 6,000 comments that came in largely opposed to that. So the commission stepped back at its October commission meeting, and through the request of its push girl standards committee, which is the committee charged with review, really stepped back and said, let's really start over in a lot of ways. So a completely new proposal was put forward. And there's a lot of confusion with this. So, for instance, the 180 differences, well, that was cumulative amongst the 8 states and the federal government. We only have 120 criteria. So if you think about that, there can't be 180 criteria that are different when we only have 120 to begin with. So I do want to stress there's a lot of confusion with this. But really what happened then is the commission and the committee came up with a totally new proposal that would keep the pollution control standards. It would allow the standards to be used for new contaminants of concern. And then further, we would continue to review permits to make sure that they were not harming water quality. So I do believe that this would not be harmful of water quality, because largely the process that was even being proposed last year is what's being used for all the other interstate bodies of water within the basin. Our standards really only apply to the Ohio River, of which about 90% of its flow comes from the interstate tributaries.
Let you know that there is a public meeting for the Cincinnati area on Monday, April 8th in Erlanger at the Holiday Inn Cincinnati Airport on Exchange Boulevard. It starts at 6. Again, that's on Monday. We'll get to your phone calls at 513-419-7100. Coming up, more on the potential changes to regulations protecting the Ohio River, plus a look at the new initiative by Hamilton County to place fewer people with mental illnesses behind bars. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We're talking today about potential changes to regulations related to the Ohio River. Joining Cincinnati Edition today are Orsenco Executive Director and Chief Engineer Richard Harrison and Sierra Club Ohio Chapter Conservation Program Coordinator Nathan Alley. If you want to join the conversation, it's 513-419-7100. Email talk at wvxu.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter as well. Let's go to the phone lines. We have Pinky on the line. Hey, Pinky, how are you?
Well, I'm good. I'm eager to give you my opinion. I am the co-president of the League of Women Voters of the Cincinnati area, and we oppose this idea of the standards being voluntary because it'll leave a patchwork of regulations of all the 8 states in the compact. So West Virginia could do what they wanted, Indiana could do what they wanted, and we'd like to emphasize that the Ohio River is the source of drinking water for 5 million people, and I don't think we want to risk the health of any of these individuals.
Thank you for your comment, Pinky. Richard, I want to ask you then, as the head of Orsenco, what does that mean when you have 8 states involved, you have this one body of water that flows through or around all of them, and they're connected to it in some way? If there are different state regulations for that body of water, can that impact the other states in an adverse way?
Well, that's the key part of the proposal, is that we would maintain the push-to-go standards as that common definition of what's defining the designated uses. So making sure that it's safe for drinking water is one of those uses. So we will be reviewing the permits, if this proposal would be approved, to make sure that that doesn't happen, to make sure that the ultimate load that's in that discharge does not impact the water quality of the river in a negative way as a, compared to what the states had proposed. So we're going to be doing the same calculations we're doing right now to make sure that doesn't happen. And so that's a big change between this proposal and the previous proposal that would have essentially eliminated the criteria. We're proposing keeping them.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to weigh in. Next up is Claire. Hey, Claire. Do we have Claire on the line?
Yes.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Claire. What's your question or comment?
I live in Northern Kentucky, and I'm also a member of various groups who are worried about rolling back any legislation that would put oversight or put less oversight on our natural resources. When we start playing around with our water, our air, and stuff that actually belongs to the people, we end up with incidents like Flint and Morgan County, Kentucky, which has no potable or drinking water. There's a lot of areas that we could highlight where we're in the standards were rolled back or the restrictions within the participants are rolled back. It's the general public that pays, and that's never a good thing. That's never a good thing. So unfortunately, you know, they may see the changes as positive, but a lot of the people who are drinking this water, and I agree, I think there should be more. I think we should be far more restrictive as to what goes into that water. And if you even consider it to be clean, like, go and get a glass of it. I mean, it's horrible.
Claire, we appreciate the call. Thanks so much. 513-419-7100 if you would like to weigh in. Richard, Claire just said places like Flint, and I think she said Morgan County. I think she might have meant Martin County, Kentucky, which has had some issues with its drinking water as well. When people raise those kinds of concerns where you have sort of a crisis with drinking water that gets national attention, is that something that's worthy of that level of concern when you're talking about these regulations locally?
Well, Michael, I've spent about 27 years of my previous career as an executive with a local drinking water utility. So I couldn't value our drinking water quality more. So, of course, it's important that folks should be aware of their drinking water quality. One important aspect of this proposal is that we take our criteria largely from US EPA. That's exactly where the states take their criteria. A lot of the differences are related to time and really the states having to work through the enforcement. And this is an area of their expertise. But certainly Orsanco is very concerned about water quality. That's the reason for our existence. That won't change regardless of how this proposal is decided by the commission. We're going to continue to be focused on water quality and dedicated as really one of the country's largest watershed organizations.
Nathan, I think you wanted to respond to something before we went to our break earlier that Richard may have said. What was that?
Well, I appreciate that. Several things. I think the real question is, why make any change and why make it now? Richard noted that Orsanco as an entity predates what we think of as the Clean Water Act. That's kind of halfway true. The Clean Water Act, as we know it, was really a 1972 amendment to the 1948 Water Pollution Control Act, which was an act passed by Congress in the same year that Orsanco was formed, both essentially regulating interstate water quality. And so for its entire 70-year existence, Orsanco has been a complement to federal water quality control efforts. In fact, what we think of as the Clean Water Act, I mentioned 1972, that was more than 40 years ago. So in those last 40 years, everything has been working relatively smoothly. Why make a change now? And I don't think that question has been adequately answered by anybody. Richard mentioned that the current proposal would be functionally equivalent to what we currently have. Again, then why change it?
The public hearing for our area is Monday, April 8th. It's in Erlanger at the Holiday Inn Cincinnati Airport on Exchange Boulevard. It starts at 6 o'clock. Richard, what's being asked of the public in terms of weighing in? What happens at these public hearings?
Well, first, we'd like folks to take advantage of the information that we provided on our website. We provided information about the proposal. It's laid out on the website. The changes are lined in a legislative draft form in the proposal. And then folks should comment. They should send that in, as certainly the commission showed over the period of the last year plus. They have listened to those comments, and they'll take those into consideration while making sure that the priorities that they have and the challenges that they have are also being addressed through this effort.
We got a tweet from Nate. He says, anything that jeopardizes water quality should not be considered. An email from Brent asks whether there was an organization like Orsenco in Flint that could have prevented the mess that was there. Anybody know the answer to that?
Not that I'm aware of. We are pretty unique. Susquehanna, Delaware, Chesapeake, Great Lakes. I mean, you know, some of the major basins or bodies of water, Potomac, have organizations like us, but there's really just a handful of us in the country.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Next up, we have Sue on the line. Hey, Sue.
Hi. I have a comment and a question. So Orsenco will continue to monitor and look at water quality, but if a state, such as a state on the waterway, decides to relax certain standards of pollution, and Orsenco has no regulatory power, what possible benefit do you see, Orsenco, in passing this new regulation?
Okay, we'll get to your question. You had a comment as well? Okay, Sue, we'll hang up and we'll let Richard get an answer in on that question. I think we kind of addressed this a little earlier. You know, what about your regulatory authority post this possible adoption of a proposal?
A lot of folks feel that we're separate from the states, but we really are a collaboration of our states. So this doesn't change our authority. Our authority is laid out in our compact, but it's really our member states that determine that and how that authority will be implemented. So as we move forward with this proposal, certainly states will continue to do triennial reviews, as will US EPA with their recommended criteria, and we'll do some level of review if this works through. So we're going to be involved collaboratively, but the folks that we're referencing here, the member states, are actually our leadership. They're actually the folks that set the mission and the work for Orsenco.
If I could jump in, I think that begs another similar question. If the states are responsible for helping Orsenco set these standards and sign off on them when they are implemented, what reason would there be for the state not to adopt those standards as its own? If they've already blessed them, why would they reject them? And I don't know what the answer to that would be.
Do you, Richard?
I certainly know what the commission was thinking in putting forward this proposal. The river is 1,000 miles, and even in our compact, 981 miles to be precise. Even in our compact, it recognizes that no single standard can apply throughout the district. The river changes over the course of its length, and the states also go through a process to establish standards that cover the higher river, as they do the other interstate bodies of water. So this really came down to looking at their individual processes, which all differ, and making sure that we are effectively operating in a space where we have our most expertise, and that is our science, and making sure that we are there to measure the health of the river, and that it allows them to operate within that space that they have expertise in, and that is the regulatory aspect. They have requirements through the Clean Water Act, EPA reviews them, and so really that's where the duplication process comes from. But by allowing us to look holistically at the river in terms of these criteria, that's where the consistency is going to come from, because we can apply these to the entire river, and then the states can have the flexibility that they need to work within their own specific regulatory programs.
Okay, very quickly, I do want to give each of you the opportunity to tell us what the Ohio River looks like in 10 years. What's its health like, Richard, in 10 years?
Well, I think we're going to continue to see progress, but we're also going to have challenges. We can now measure contaminants in parts per trillion. In a lot of cases, we don't know exactly what that means. So I think emerging contaminants are going to be a challenge. We also have legacy pollutants. We have challenges with non-point pollution. So I think making sure that we're working towards addressing those is going to be very important. But I think the future is strong. I see Orsenco being a very strong collaborative body well beyond 10 years. And so I think the future is good.
Nathan, about 10 seconds.
Well, I'm an optimist. I do not see the petrochemical industry taking over Ohio. I see Orsenco continuing its excellent work and the river continuing to improve in its water quality.
All right. Richard Harrison from Orsenco and Nathan Alley from the Sierra Club. Thanks to both of you for joining us today. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. I'm Michael Monks. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org.